Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
You are on the front line, a physicist friend with a strong interest in environmental matters said to me about 8 years ago. And he went on to ask if I minded having some observations in some of my bulletins on the effects of changing weather on growing vegetables forwarded to an environmental group he belonged to. What he apparently meant was that our daily hands-on experience with growing things put us in close touch with seasonal changes in weather patterns, and that these observations were valuable and merited inclusion in the body of evidence his group was compiling about the changing environment. I didn't feel at the time, since I saw plenty of groups, governmental and scientific, focused on climate matters, that we could really make that much of a contribution, assuming that his describing us as being on the front line was a bit of well-meaning exaggeration. But now, with the current party of denial in control of so much of our government, making every effort to repress scientific studies of climate, I'm thinking that maybe our widow's mite of information does have a valuable function after all. True, our really intensive involvement with agriculture goes back only 17 years here at Turkana Farms, but that was preceded by over 20 years of fairly intensive backyard vegetable gardening on Long Island. I think that by now we are more able to sort out what are normal local fluctuations in weather patterns from significant changes in climate here in our part of Columbia County. I remember after the first few growing seasons in Germantown being confused by what seemed to me to be the strange fluctuations in weather patterns, particularly with rainfall, and remember asking a farmer helper who had grown up in a family with a long history of farming in this region, what a normal Columbia County growing season should be like. I was met with a wry smile and a curt reply, quote, "There is no such thing as a normal growing season here, different all the time," unquote. But nevertheless, it seems to me that there are, amidst the normal fluctuations in local weather, significant emerging patterns, particularly in temperature and rainfall, that are moving us gradually into a different climate. I have used okra in the past as a bellwether of change, and it continues to serve this function. Native to West Africa, okra was brought to this country by African slaves and has always thrived in the American South, which, like Africa, has very hot summers and, in many places, no killing freezes. Okra is such a lover of heat that temperatures in the 40s are enough to send it into steep decline. Our first few seasons, the okra we planted never, to our great disappointment, reached the producing stage before the growing season ended. Temperatures were not high enough for it to thrive, and the growing season was, as a result, too short for it to reach the production stage. We finally resorted to starting okra early in the greenhouse and, with this head start, set its seedlings out into the garden when summer temperatures arrived. With this head start, we managed to get a modest crop. But now, thanks to gradually warming temperatures over a very short period of around 15 years, it is now possible to plant okra directly in the garden and to have a good crop by midsummer. The thriving of okra here correlates very well with the annual record-breaking increases in summer temperatures reported by scientists this past decade. We now, without moving, find ourselves farming in a region where okra can thrive. But this increase in temperatures, particularly when it starts in the spring, has not had the same positive effect on other vegetables. It is, for instance, becoming more and more difficult to grow vegetables here that require a cool, wet spring, such as peas, fava beans, and spinach. What should have been a real bumper crop of fava beans this spring, for example, came to a crashing halt when midsummer temperatures began arriving in May. The premature heating up of the greenhouse, where we plant all of our seedlings, was a warning of things to come. Actually, this warning had also come the previous year as well. The greenhouse is ventilated by a huge open window at one end and a screen door at the other, supplemented by a very large exhaust fan, which for the past dozen or so years have been adequate to keep the greenhouse at a good growing temperature. Usually we take out the flats of tomatoes, peppers, cabbages, leeks, and other seedlings as the garden becomes ready for planting, well into the month of June. But this year, by early May, the flats of seedlings were not only drying out in the intense heat, but the leaves of the seedlings were actually burning to a crisp. We had no choice but to move all of the flats out onto trestles outside the greenhouse. Once summer came, we were surprised to see usually fail-safe vegetables like radishes, daikon radishes, and Spanish radishes suddenly bolt in early July, going to seed, producing nothing, necessitating replanting, with the result that a midsummer crop has now become a fall vegetable. Cauliflower and cabbages, usually plentiful by midsummer, have only recently, with the moderating of the weather, begun to head. While cucumbers, usually almost as bountiful as zucchini, have barely produced anything this season. And strangest of all, in July, the summer sun was apparently so intense that the Swiss chard, beans, basil, and other leafy vegetables were disfigured by sunburn. Often blistering temperatures were combined with almost daily rains and storms and constantly high humidity, creating the kind of climate one would expect on the Gulf Coast. The rains these past few years have not only increased in number, but also changed character significantly, moving in the direction of very heavy torrential downpours, often accompanied by violent thunder and lightning. It is these extremes, days in which temperatures in the high 80s and 90s were interrupted by heavy rains, followed by a sudden return to the same high temperatures, that I believe to be responsible for the sunburn that afflicted our leafy vegetables. This back and forth between extremes of heat and rainfall also had deleterious effects on our tomatoes, particularly the heirloom varieties, which are very thin-skinned, causing excessive splitting. As the summer progressed, the skins of the sun-kissed fruits split as the fruit became engorged with yet more moisture. By the end of the summer, this splitting damage became so prevalent that we were forced to harvest tomatoes before they were fully ripe and move them to semi-shaded tables to complete the ripening. The constant rainfalls and high humidity by midsummer threatened us with yet another climate-related disaster, the dreaded tomato-potato blight, which decimated our entire tomato crop several years ago. All the weather conditions were right for it, but apparently our decision to move the tomato patch to a new area outside the main garden was the factor that spared us, since the new area presumably carried no spores to spread the disease. But by summer's end, the Genovese basil, which was planted in the main garden, succumbed to a related blight disease. There's no doubt in my mind that we have significant climate changes going on all around us, and that we, all of us, need to do everything within our means to counteract the man-made causes. We also need constantly to be making adjustments to the new climate conditions we find ourselves in, which, as you have just heard, have been considerable for us this summer. Climate change is more than just statistics. It is perhaps more understandable and ominous if it is perceived in the very real ways it is beginning to alter our daily life.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Turkana Farms, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Turkana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of Turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of Turkey. And his third hat is Turkana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website, TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.